Unit 5 has faced strong public pushback from some of its high school teachers and students over the rollout of standards-based grading, or SBG. And it's a big shift. SBG replaces the traditional letter grades like A, B, C, or F with a score, like 1 through 4. Student is essentially scored against themselves and their own progress on a given skill or concept. But Unit 5 high schools are not the only ones rolling out a new grading system. I spoke with Andrea Markert, the principal at ISU's University High School Laboratory School. They're in year one of a five-year rollout.
Standards-based grading is more difficult at a high school level because it is not as common at a high school level. And so you don't have people who have done this before you. So we started kind of within our department. So our departments kind of looked at it to see how it would work within each department, which definitely has its pros and cons. I think a lot of the difficult things, you know, how are we going to use the standards? What is a 2 versus a 3? You know, what do we want to use a 1 through 4? Are we going to use a 1 through 5? How do we give feedback in a timely manner that is meaningful? You know, what are we going to use as formatives? What are going to be our summatives? So there was a lot to try to figure out and to determine, and it's something we're still constantly working on.
Christine Paxson, you're the curriculum coordinator at University High School. Can you expand a bit on why it's harder to roll out standards-based grading at the high school level?
Right. So at the high school level, we have multiple departments. Our departments within the high school often live as islands, and that collaborative opportunity to talk with one another and build upon the capacity of their knowledge. And in that capacity, it could be teaching practice, grading practice, developing assessments, all of those things. You have to allow opportunity for that to happen. And so what we've done in our five-year plan is we came together and we said, we're going to conduct research this year. We're going to provide monthly late start to our faculty, everyone. So this isn't just departmental focus. This is everyone is getting the same professional development. We are going to, along the way, do surveys. We're going to determine if the late start PD that we're providing is hitting the mark. If it's not hitting the mark, then we need to do something different. So this isn't just a very stagnant approach to this. This is very fluid and trying to be very mindful of what our teachers are telling us.
What does standards-based grading mean for your graduating seniors and your graduating seniors in years to come? You know, the transcripts that have to be delivered to college admissions offices. How do you kind of account for all of that in terms of rolling this thing out?
So that is something that a high school always has to deal with because currently colleges want a letter grade on transcripts. So, you know, and that is current practice. Some colleges are moving to also using standards-based grading, but that's a much slower process. So we have to correlate our numbers with letters at the end of the semester to have something to put on the transcript for the students. Now, that being said, there is a huge difference in the conversation that occurs between a letter grade and a standards-based grade. So, for example, if your child comes home and they have a B in their government class, you know, they'd be like, I have a B. They may not know what their strengths and weaknesses are in the class. However, if they come home and it's a standards-based grading class and they can see the standards, they know what standards they're doing well in and what areas that they have or what standards that they need to grow in to reach a higher standard level. So I think the conversation around what students know and what they're still working on has become much better for parents, for students, and for teachers.
Where do you anticipate the hurdles coming in over the next few years as implementation rolls out? Where are you sort of bracing yourself? Where are you trying to devote the most thought to try to get ahead of any issues that may arise?
Number of scales being used in the building, right? So we have classes that are AP classes and dual credit that are still going to need a traditional grading practice of percentage and all that. So those we have accepted those classes, you're going to still have a traditional scale. But it's coming down to looking at a scale that has a proficiency number next to it to determine if it's a 5-point scale, a 4-point scale, so that it's very reflective of the needs of all of our departments. So our goal would be to have a scale standards-based and then a scale traditional. The traditional would be used for the AP and dual credit. Going back to the standards-based scale, that scale, I, as the curriculum director, am okay if the proficiency language is different in social science versus the English department, because ultimately they're still communicating the same thing. You know what I mean? Whether one word or two is different, our goal is still the same, is to communicate right where students are in their learning. I do think other obstacles in this transition is getting past the mindset of traditional grading practice and the communication. Are we being clear in our communication? Are we being clear with our communication internally to our teachers and with each other, having that opportunity to talk? Are we being clear in our communication to students and clear in our communication to parents? So we need to consider these things as we continue to roll this out and expand, because they have 5 years to get to that place of, you know, we're fully there, but 5 years, everyone's going to come at it, is going to be ready at different places, and we're going to support them right where they are.
Yeah. Can you expand on that a little bit? I mean, how Sure. do you walk parents and students, you know, past this traditional mindset that they're so used to? How do you do that in an effective way?
Right.
Well, we're finding it to be a little bit easier as for our students, as our students are coming from now junior highs that have standards-based grading, which wasn't the case several years ago. So I guess it's a little easier with parents as well, students and parents, because it's kind of what they're used to. So coming in, they're used to it already. I think it's more difficult with our older kids who did not have that at the junior high school level and are being thrust into it during their high school years. So, you know, it really boils down to how the teacher communicates with the students and the parents in the classroom.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham, speaking with University High School Principal Andrea Markert and Curriculum Coordinator Christine Paxson about the rollout of standards-based grading in their school. Christine, how about the more practical side of this, like report cards? How much of a challenge was it to find the right grading software?
One of the obstacles that many districts have is having grading software mm-hmm. that clearly communicates exactly what our teachers are doing in this transition, because you can do all that great work in the classroom and the students are learning and understanding it, but then when it goes out into report card form or is viewed through the website, it looks different. So trying to find the right fit for that is an obstacle for mm-hmm. many districts.
And how have you handled that at University High School?
Well, I think it's even a bigger obstacle at U-High, because from what I understand, other districts, they've already come up with one scale and everyone's using the one scale. All the different departments are in the high school level. And that's not what we're doing.
No.
So our departments could have different scales. Different teachers could have different scales, because right now we're piloting everything with the hopes of, you know, narrowing it down to the scale that we want to use as a school. But so for us, it was really, really hard to find a grading program that would allow multiple scales from teachers. We really didn't have many options. So we have a grade book that we've been using for several years now, because it best fits our needs, but it still does not fit all of our needs. But none of them do.
We're still looking.
Yes, we still mm-hmm. constantly
looking.
Yes.
It sounds like you're giving departments a bit of autonomy, or at least customization, when it comes to multiple scales and, you know, the words that you're using to describe proficiency. It sounds like that's what you're doing. Am I understanding that correctly?
You are, and it's because we are a laboratory school. So we run under a shared governance model, just like a university would. And our teachers are the experts in the classroom. And so they know what works and what doesn't work, or they're willing to try things and let us know, you know, hey, this did work, this did not work. And that's just the way our school has always run. And so we want everyone, I mean, they're the ones doing all the footwork for it. They're the ones that live with their grading systems day in and day out. They're the ones communicating with their students and their parents and each other. So we need to know what works for them, and they're the best people to determine that.
We do recognize that is going to cause student confusion,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And it is. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have, and I wanted to share this with you too, is we have, as a team, our standards-based task force in December, we came together and we said, you know, I think we're getting hung up on the words standards-based grading, and we need to rename this. And so we have renamed it at U-High, and we have called it the U-High Framework. And within the U-High Framework, our focus is on proficiency, feedback, assessment, teacher clarity, and then we have two non-negotiables. The two non-negotiables is they must report students' progress on standards, and they have to limit the number of scales. So what we just talked about is right now there's that autonomy of figuring it out. We need to get to that place where we've practiced. Now, what's best for our students to best communicate right where they are? That's going to then create that limit of scales. Mm-hmm. And it'll cause less confusion. But the autonomy still is going to live within the feedback, the assessment, the teacher clarity, the instructional design of how they're delivering their content area. That's on them. We have wonderful teachers.
Can you talk a little bit about the kind of the changing role of homework under standards-based grading? At other schools that we've spoken with, homework is sort of now being treated more as practice. It doesn't weigh as much on your final grade as it once did. Is that how it works under the U-High framework at your school?
Yes, it does. In the traditional grading, you turn your homework in and you get a certain number of points, and sometimes the number of homework points can outweigh projects, or any other type of summative assessment. But really, we can't present something to a student or have a student learn something and then expect them to be masters at it after they've worked with it for 30 minutes, which is what you're doing when you traditionally grade and you give them a grade for practicing. So instead, using a standards-based grading model, the homework is all formative, and it should be treated as practice, and students shouldn't be penalized for not doing well when they're practicing to become experts at something. In no other area do we expect students to be able to just go out and do anything. If you think about athletics, you teach a kid how to do a free throw. You don't expect them just to go out there and be able to do it after you've talked with them about it or after they've practiced it for, 3 or 4 minutes. And then you don't just say, okay, we're going to grade you now. Can you do this? We allow them to practice. And so that's what the formative work is during standards-based grading. Mm. So it should not count as a large part of their grade.
And to add to that, in the traditional practice, if we would have a zero live there because someone didn't complete their homework, the research shows that it takes 9 perfect scores to recover from 1 0. So if I'm a student and I have a zero, just think about that pit they're getting into and how they're trying to work out of it. This goes back to what, Andrea's talking about is if you're talking about free throws, you're talking about young kids teaching them how to tie a shoe. If our goal is to do the free throw, the goal is that they can tie their shoe, then you don't average in all those attempts along the way. The goal is they can do that task. So we want to report right where they are in their learning.
How do you think it will have changed the way that students learn in your school? What is sort of going to be the net effect of all this, do you think, in a decade from now?
As a laboratory school, I'm hoping that once we determine what best practices are within our school, part of our mission is to always go out and share that information. And we do have teachers now that go to other school districts and already, provide conferences and provide information about standards-based grading. But I hope to see that grow. I hope that people will look at U-High and say, okay, they've got it now. This is research-based. They've figured out. They've tried different things. Some have worked. Some have failed. They made changes. They're constantly evaluating their practice. And this is the way that it should be done. My hope, I think for students, it gives students a lot of responsibility in their learning, and it gives them opportunity in their learning too. So, for example, if I'm taking a summative assessment and I don't do well on one small area, one standard, I know that I just need to relearn that standard instead of trying to relearn everything that's going on. So I hope that as students are talking about what they're learning and how they're learning, they're always talking about the standards and what they do know and what areas they're focusing on to grow in.
That's University High School Principal Andrea Markert, joined in studio by Curriculum Coordinator Christine Paxson, talking about the rollout of standards-based grading at their school. You can find more reporting on SBG and all sorts of education issues in our community at WGLT.org. Just click on Education on the news dropdown. This is Sound Ideas.